Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Central Europe, Poland. Right now, there is a political contest underway because of a recent election that turned the Polish government, heretofore understood as an outlier in Europe, straining the relationship with the EU, turned that government back towards the moderate centrists of Poland. To help me tell this story, I welcome Judy Dempsey of the International of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. She's based in Berlin, writing of the moment right now, a decision moment for the president of Poland, his name is Duda, to offer to the man who was successful in the recent election, Tusk, to form a government. This is complicated by the fact that the present government, Mr. Morawiecki, represents the party that's been in complete control of Poland for some years and has strained relationships with the European Union. There's about to be a better day if we get to it. Judy, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. Your column lists all of the reasons to say, woe is me about Europe, but Poland is a bright spot. Please help me understand right now Mr. Duda's reluctance to offer the government forming to Mr. Tusk. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and thank you for having me on your show. Well, Andrzej Duda owes his office due to the support from the outgoing Law and Justice Party, whose eminence Greece and leader, de facto leader, is a man called Jaroslaw Kaczyński. And under the terms of the rules of the game, those with the largest number of votes means that the president can ask this party to form the first government, has the first chance. But of course, but the problem with the Law and Justice is that they may have the largest number of votes, but they don't have the largest number of seats to command a majority in the Polish parliament. And these talks are going nowhere. And Duda is stalling because he owes his position to Law and Justice. And even Law and Justice people tell me that they haven't a chance of forming the next government. Waiting in the wings is a man called Donald Tusk, a former Prime Minister of Poland and a former top EU official. And he's now hoping that all this will be signed and sealed around the 13th or 14th of December, when it coincides with a big European Union summit meeting, which he wants to attend as the new Prime Minister of Poland.
All right. That is the technical matter before us, to form a government. However, I read from your column, Judy, the word polarization. Something's happened in Poland that makes it extremely difficult to form this government. It has to do with the fact that NATO and Poland work brilliantly together in the face of Russian aggression, but the EU and Poland have almost no conversations. Why is that? What has happened?
On one level, the EU and Poland have got on pretty well until recently over the Russian war against Ukraine. But on the most fundamental issues of the rule of law, of appointing an independent judiciary, of how law and justice have undermined transparency, have increased corruption, have interfered in the managers of the state enterprises, have tried to rein in the media and media freedom, they have actually undermined the whole aspect of the EU's commitment to transparent institutions and the rule of law, particularly the judiciary. And this has been a thorn in the side of the European Union, and a very sad one because of the size of Poland. But Law and Justice were out from day one on revenge against what they call the left-wing liberal intelligentsia opposition, and they wanted to get their own back from the time that the civic platform was in power. This polarization is not new. It has been going on for at least 20 years, one side against the other for claim, for, it's about claiming the history of Poland. It's about claiming the democracy on how they see Poland's place in the European Union.
You note that this is an anniversary, 42nd anniversary of martial law that was imposed on Poland. It was a shock during the Cold War, imposed on Poland to crush the Solidarity Independence Movement that eventually won through. However, it suggests that there's a temperament in Poland that wants strong men. Is that true, Judy?
No, I think it's more complicated than that. What's happening in Poland is not only a tug of war between liberals and intelligentsia and the center ground on the one hand, and the nationalist and right-wing ground on the other hand. And the right-wing nationalist ground appeals to the eastern Poland, which is poorer, which is more rural, it's Catholic, Catholic church orientated. The civic coalition, the civic platform, the left, center, moderate, liberal, appeal to the cities, to Gdańsk, to Szczecin, to Krakow, to Warsaw. And what's at issue here is not the yearning for the strong man. What's at issue is who owns the past. And the past has become such an obsession. And we're talking about the immediate past, what happened when Poland got its independence in 1989. Law and justice always wanted the whole institutions to be cleaned out of anybody who collaborated, any remnants of the communists, any judges who continued in office. They wanted a reckoning with the past. The opposition said, no, we need a peaceful transition to democracy and make it smooth and reconcile all the various elements. And over the years, these different attitudes towards the past, and it fed into the attitudes towards sovereignty, towards independence, and towards the European Union. This deepened, especially over the past couple of years.
Mr. Tusk is identified with his previous office serving in the European Union. Is he seen as a threat to that part of the country, the populist part of the country that is to the east? Do they fear him?
I think this is a very important question, because when Tusk was prime minister running the civic platform government, they actually did neglect this other important social constituency of Poland. And they became rather, I wouldn't call it smug, but they concentrated on their own people, if you know what I mean, on their own supporters, rather than being much more inclusive. I think this was actually a strategic mistake. On the other hand, the civic platform, when it was in power from 2006, 2007 to 2015, they really worked hard to support a stronger European Union from the defence and security issues. But if this new civic coalition now does take government, they have to learn from the mistakes that they made and ask why law and justice did so well over the years until now.
Ukraine, the Russian aggression, and we're about to discuss endlessly the hesitation, the reluctance, the changing directions in the Ukraine conflict, but I'm concentrating just on Poland. Poland has been first rate for NATO, standing up, arming. The U.S. and Poland have worked very well together. Poland's accepted perhaps several millions of refugees from Ukraine and permitted all kinds of offices to travel through Poland into Ukraine, into occupied Ukraine. All of that is to Poland's advantage. Is there likely to be a change under the Tusk government? Are they going to hesitate about this martial Poland?
Oh, I don't think so. We have to backtrack just a tiny bit a few weeks ago, because the outgoing Polish government wanted to stop Ukraine and grain exports going over into Europe, and because they said, oh, this was depressing Polish grain prices. And now they've stopped or slowing down a huge number of Ukrainian trucks that have special permission under a special EU dispensation to cross without any problems into the European Union. Poland is stopping this again because it's affecting the prices of the Polish truck carriers. Ukrainian truck carriers are much cheaper, so they can carry goods at a cheaper price for European companies. But to answer your question, when Tusk does take office, there's going to be even a stronger pro-Europe Ukrainian support. There's absolutely no doubt about this. And the foreign minister designate, it may be Radek Sikorski, a former foreign minister, and he will no doubt be pushing for a much stronger European Union security defence policy towards Ukraine, and this will influence NATO as well, perhaps. But there's no doubt that the new government will be taking a really hands-on strategic approach towards Ukraine.
And European Union, I know it's impossible to generalize, but is it looking for Poland, and is it to integrate Poland, or there's always some question about competition between Western Europe dominating the European Union and Central Europe. Is that tension going to be present even with a new government?
I think we have to be quite circumspect about this new Polish government. Yes, they're, of course, they're pro-NATO, they're pro-Ukraine, they're pro-European Union. But we will see that this new Polish government under Donald Tusk will not want a reform of the treaties, which in effect, one of them would lead to the end of consensus for certain voting, that the power of veto would be weakened, and that it's called qualified majority voting. Essentially, the power of veto by one country would essentially be weakened if not abolished. And Poland is actually now deciding that, actually now saying that it doesn't want to go down this path. At issue for Poland and the Ukraine situation has changed so much. At issue for Poland is the idea of sovereignty, that the EU cannot weaken Poland's sovereignty. And at the same time, the war in Ukraine must not weaken Polish sovereignty so that Russia can capitalize on it. We have to have open eyes about this Tusk government, pro-EU, pro-NATO, pro-Ukraine, but actually pro-sovereignty as well.
Judy Dempsey is the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe. That is an email you can get. Just sign up for it. The voices of all of Europe speaking of the present crisis and future entanglements. We're going to turn immediately to the present crisis. Question of what needs to be done, answering the question, can Europe meet Ukraine's military needs? I'm John Patrick.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look amazing. What have you been doing?
You've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, if you qualify, Zelthy providers can prescribe semaglutide, the same active ingredient, at up to 90% less without insurance. Done all online.
No wait at the doctor's office or pharmacy?
No wait. Zelthy can ship the same active ingredients as other expensive GLP-1s to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less. That's #250 keyword care.